when someone recommends a book to me, I'm always curious, like, why did you recommend it?
What is the purpose of this? Yeah.
And sometimes I don't have to read the whole book, but that's another story.
I'm a spiritual chiropractor.
My friends call me the real life caregiver.
Talk it out. Welcome to episode number
14.
14. We're on number 14 already, and we are Black Sheep Thinking. I am Morgan Pierce.
And I am Andrew Potvin.
We're two best friends and life coaches, helping people see past their thinking and heal by understanding the truth of who they are.
Yeah.
The truth.
The truth. The truth shall set you free.
All those things.
All those things. Words.
Mm. Today's subject is about
reading from knowing and not from need.
Yeah, reading from knowing. And so I was shared that by my coach, Arizona, mm-hmm. aka Andrew McKee.
Yep.
And one time he asked me after this understanding, I worked with him for 6 months and probably near the second half, he said, "What are you reading?" And my response, and I'm an avid reader. I have a prolific bookshelf.
Yes.
And many of those books are red. Some of them are on the wait list.
Are any of them blue?
Some of them are mainly just, yeah.
Just red ones?
Just red ones.
That's just, got a big, yeah,
got blood all over them. Paper cuts. And I said, I didn't answer. I said, he said, "You're not reading, are you?" I said, "No, why would you keep reading, looking for something when you are, it's like looking for your glasses when they're already found, or your wallet or your keys or whatever." And so he said, "Well, keep reading because it's good to understand what people are reading, and you'll see different approaches and languages and things." But then he said to read from knowing and not from need.
Mm-hmm.
And that was and then that got me back into reading, because before, when I read a book, I read it as it was like there was something in it that I didn't know.
Yeah.
Because I didn't. I was
like,
I was
going to give you the answer.
It was the answer. I was looking for an answer.
Yeah.
And so I always read critically, but most people read either from a sense of I'm learning and trying to replicate this knowledge, or they read critically.
Yeah.
Which is like, do I agree? I like this book because I agree with it, or I don't like this book because I don't agree with it. And I think a lot of people listen to most things that way.
It's true.
Including out.
Yeah.
And, but when I learned to read from knowing, and so when I knew who I was, and I'd start to be able to really separate information. Like, I used to love the book, John Bishop's book, on F Yourself.
Oh, yeah.
But I thought it was great. And it's a conversation and switching your thinking and positive psychology.
Yeah.
It's a very no-nonsense, tough love approach, and I thought it was good. And I had a couple people, many people read, and they enjoyed the book and then changed nothing. And I couldn't even tell you, even though it's a really well-written book, and I'm not trashing the book at all, for me now, I just don't see any value in it.
Yeah. But yeah, because it's a battle of psychology, right?
Yeah. And so when you read from knowing, you're not reading, there's other books I've read that align with what we're speaking about, and it's not that we agree with it. They've done prolific is the word of the day.
Prolific is the word of the day, yep.
They've done amazing things in helping me.
Yeah.
Understand something from a different angle, or just creating a little bit more awareness, or creating language for me, or just helping me see things even more clear. I kind of consider it like if I had a lens I was looking through. Some of immaterial out there is great at kind of just tweaking the lens to create a clear picture.
Yep.
And other ones just throw more mud at the lens.
That I had a client that read the book, Michael Singer's Untethered Soul. And she had read it, I think she said, about 5 or 6 years ago.
Black Sheep Thinking approved book.
Yeah, which is one that we approve of because the language in it is really, really, it articulates what we talk about really well.
And the title, it really speaks to what the book is.
It's true. Yeah. It really does. Yeah.
Tethers your soul.
Yeah, it does. And then she started to read it after being working with me for about 3 or 4 weeks. And she goes, "This book reads completely different now. I thought I understood what it was saying, but now that I get this understanding, what I'm reading is so much more clear and it makes so much more sense to me." And to me, that then, and so I explained to her the difference between reading from need and reading from knowing, and how before she was looking for something to be the answer. Mm-hmm. And now she knows that she is the answer.
Yes.
That the truth of who she is the answer. And this book helps really articulate that and line that out for you. So
clarity is an important
part. Yeah, just create some really good clarity around it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. People always ask us for a reading list, which maybe is a good idea to post.
Post a reading list with this?
Yeah. You know, or anything. But there's more to it than that. I mean, there's even books like, I love Steve Chandler's work. You and I both have a copy of Time Warrior, a book that we absolutely.
Yep.
But the funny part is, and no disrespect because I love Steve Chandler, but there are parts of that book I read, and this is before he grew, because it was an old published. We got to look at time frames of people's journey. And there's parts of it where I'm like, it's okay. And there's other parts where I'm like, wow, this is it's really related to the subject, and he has great insight in it. And so, you know, and that is a theme for a lot of people that we spend time with, that we tell them, you're going to start hearing things differently.
Yeah.
You're going to start watching movies differently, listening to music differently, listening to everything that you've consumed prior.
Yeah.
You're going to start to see a shift in it where you start to hear it completely differently.
Yeah. You hear a deeper meaning underneath what they're really saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see that, like you say, in TV shows, you see the things that are occurring and you see it for what it is beneath what is just being conveyed on the screen.
That happened really early for me, like, you know, outside of reading, which we could, you know, talk about a bunch of different authors that we love. And there's ones that we just, you know, don't see. I don't hear Tony Robbins the way I used to. I think Tony Robbins stuff is okay. And it just, a lot, some of it's good because he still has a spiritual component of what he does.
Yeah.
But a lot of it's like rah-rah stuff that we find like isn't sustainable once you leave the building you watched him in, or, you know, once the video is off.
Yeah.
And so, you know, if you're ever curious about it, I mean, we love The Four Agreements. We love The Courage to Be Disliked.
Yep.
Book. There's a number of other books that are a little more hard to find or rare or not known that we enjoy. Everything from,
I'm trying to think of some of the ones that
I'm caring enough to confront.
Did I make a list?
Yeah. Did you? That'd be amazing if you did.
I know we wrote them maybe in our messages.
Yeah. There's books we've gone back and forth on to say, like The Story of You by Steve Chandler, we thought was a good one.
Yep.
There's a ton. It just depends, and it depends on what the person needs. We're very good at that, recommending books that make sense to add to on top of where that person is, rather than like, here's a good book.
That's true.
When someone recommends a book to me, I'm always curious, like, why did you recommend it?
What is the purpose of this?
Yeah. And sometimes I don't have to read the whole book, but that's another story.
Well, then we've done that. Like, we've got books before where we sit down and we just rifle through it, get the main points and say, okay, is this touching on things that could benefit our clients?
Yeah.
Is it something that we'd want to put in our library, right? Yeah.
Exactly. But, you know, even to get to the whole point of what this is about, it's not just about reading for me. Like, I remember someone sent me, I'm pretty sure as a mutual friend, I saw post a video from The Greatest Showman. It was a live behind the scenes video, which we've watched a thousand times.
I love that video.
But there's two of them.
Yep.
And the one, I know you're thinking the one probably, but it was the From Now On for me. And so when I, Hugh Jackman,
yeah,
said his name right.
You did say it right. Congratulations.
Yeah. Not Black Jackman. Jack Blackman. He had a cancer in his nose in this video that it got removed and took a long time for them to get the other. And I recommend it. If you search From Now On, you
need to the pilot.
Showman,
yeah, the
live
pilot.
Or whatever, live. Yeah. Whatever. They're kind of just all in a room. And he wasn't supposed to sing. And it's a big story because the guy was singing for him and he was there just kind of acting as part of be there in front of the producers. And then he started coming in to sing. And it's an incredible moment just to witness. But for me, when I heard the song From Now On, I read the lyrics. I didn't see the movie. And I'm going to ruin the movie for you, but the way I interpret it was completely not what the movie was.
Right.
For me, it was about a man saying to himself about overcoming his need for validation, his need for success and chasing that and starting to recognize that he's making a commitment to something different in his life. And it's really timely for me. And I've always, and then the other song for me that was like that, which is completely not even with the way that Coldplay meant it, was Sky Full of Stars.
I love that song.
Beautiful song.
Yep.
But I always heard it from a person kind of say, and he kind of does say this because he's talking about a woman. Like, basically, he's like, yeah, you can, I don't care. You can tear me apart, he says in it. I don't care if you do. Well, I thought you hear it and you understand the personal mind and how you can stop taking things personally because people are going to speak from where they're at and not where you are.
Yeah.
And that you can hear them say the worst things and realize I am love, but then the part where he's like, I saw you, and basically, because, you know, you're a star.
Yeah.
But that means you have to be in the sky too, in my mind, to see that star. Exactly. To see it up close enough to
know. Yeah.
It's not just a satellite. It's not just a,
What you see inside yourself exists in others too, right?
Yeah. And you'll find that in music, and you'll find it in comedy, and you'll find it in books, and you'll find it in movies. And we'll constantly share those things with each other. And so what we want people to understand is that there's two folds to this. One is, when you get a good grasp of understanding the truth of who you are, you'll stop looking at things from a place of what is being said and start to see it from the world from a beautiful spot. Mm-hmm. And that spot is you projecting into the world, which is really what we're teaching. And it doesn't mean, again, I know that the interpretation of some songs are not what was intended by the writer. But I love that I can see that.
It's like Tragically Hip songs, man. They
didn't. Some of them are like,
some of them whatever you want to be. Yeah, they don't mean anything. It just means whatever you want them to.
But the fact is, like, we're listening. A lot of people listen to music, don't listen to lyrics. A lot of people read a book and they don't really get it, because they're trying to read it from a place of like remembering or getting it.
Yeah.
Where if you're reading it from a place of what you are in that present moment, you'll start to understand, you'll unfold things. Every time you read, you're like, oh, or hear, experience something.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage people to recognize that life is so much more when they start to come from this understanding that if they're looking outside of them, they're going to get lost. But if they're looking within themselves, they realize that they've already found it. And now they're just polishing a beautiful diamond.
Yeah. It's similar to like journaling, I think, because like, I remember I used to journal, and it was like every morning I'd journal and I'd get up and I'd write my intentions for the day, and I'd write things that I'm grateful. And it was like intentional journaling.
Yeah.
And then same idea, bedtime, I would have like a recap of my day and the things I want to remember, stuff like that. Yeah. It was like a dear diary.
Good job, man.
And then I stopped doing that because I realized like, what does it matter? First off. And it wasn't making a difference for me. And now when I journal, it's like, when insight comes in, I write it down because I'm like, I know this thing will forget.
Yes.
And so it's a good way to put that down on a paper, so I have that reminder.
Yeah, I do
come back and refresh myself.
Like with notes, epiphany notes.
Yeah. I remember going through it with you the one time, trying to read your writing.
Sometimes my handwriting is bad to begin with. And when that strikes and you're worried about forgetting it, you're like scribbling. And then you go back to it, you're like, I remember when you were like, can you help me read this?
Yeah, I'm like, no.
Unicorn, potato, there's an R there. Ampersand, what do you it's like Morse code. What are you writing this in? Yeah. I figured it out. Kudos to you.
Yep.
That's probably why you're my best friend. You're the only one to read my handwriting.
That's it. This is the selection process.
Prescription for love. And more cowbell. Yeah. So yeah, that's listening to music for me, and I wonder if people are committed to hearing music from another place, because sometimes we hear music and remember when we had that room full of people in a group and had like, and we're like, we're gonna get you to just kind of go to a place and spend time with yourself and try to let your thoughts settle, we're gonna put on a song, and we put on Inner Bloom by Rufus the Soul, and there's three people and two of them were like crying, and and one was like,
that was the worst thing.
Irritated me. Yeah. But, which means not everything's not every song's for everyone, but Rufus should be.
Yeah.
On that note, though, I've had clients send me so many songs.
Yeah. And it's funny because
another one.
You and I send each other music all the time.
All the time.
And I remember when Ange and I first started dating, she was kind of like, these are really romantic songs that you send.
You know what? That's what it sounds. That's so funny. I just realized that, because we're working with a wonderful woman at Atlanta County area, and she sent me the song. I told her one day, you're going to hear songs differently. And I'm going to look up lyrics instead of looking up the song, because I'm not going to play it. But it's a beautiful song, and many people might know it. I never heard it. You had heard it before. It's Tyler Shaw, I See You.
I don't mind.
So he says in the song, frog in the mirror, ghost of yourself. You lost your voice when you asked for help. You want to run and know where to go. Guess I should do better at letting you know. Don't waste your time on your demons. Find that space you can breathe in. Not too long until it's over. Rest your head on my shoulder. When we're broken and blinded, we'll all need someone to guide us home. But you don't see what I see, beautiful in front of me. You can't hide in the dark, but the light of you keep. You don't see what I see. And it keeps on going like that.
Yeah.
I see you. And she's like, this is what it's like to coach.
Yeah.
You see the light in people. And I was like, wow, she said that song in like 2 hours. She's like, I never heard it that way before.
Yeah.
And when we play Selena Gomez's song, you know which one I'm
talking about?
Who Says?
So good.
I still cry when I hear her sing it. And so but people hear that song, and I was working with a teenager, and she was like, I brought that song up because she was dealing with this self-judgment thing. And, you know, when it says, who says you can't be presidential? Who says whatever?
Yeah.
You can't pass the test. Who says you can't be your best? And I went and I was like, who said that? And they all, what do they say?
Me.
Just me.
Just me.
Just me. Yeah.
Yeah.
And she said, I listen to that song all the time and I never heard it from that perspective of seeing myself as the
person. As the one that's telling you.
Always on the outside blaming Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
And so knowing, but it's really funny because, you know, songs can shift people's understanding because music moves people. And so does comedy because we bring awareness into comedy. Yep. And we talk about Pete Holmes as one of our guys. It's like, and every time we hear, or I know a lot of people love a lot of stand up, but when you laugh at something, the reason you're laughing is because there's a piece of truth. There's awareness in it. And comedians are amazing, which is why many of them are depressed.
Yep.
Because they're so aware of life in a way that's stuck in psychology that they can point out those weird things like Seinfeld used to do.
That's true. Yeah.
And so we're not, you know, I don't want people to be aware of their psychology. We want them to be aware of a place that...
What's underneath your psychology.
Yeah. And when you know what life is about because of that,
then
everything will start to unfold differently for you, including the books you're reading.
And the shows you watch, the music you listen
all
to.
All of it.
Yeah. Everything's, I know one thing that Andrew McKee said to me, he was like, now that you're living in this understanding, do you find it frustrating to watch TV sometimes? And I'm like, yes, because you're like, I can solve this for you. I know it's getting in your way. I know it's getting in your way. And I know we can end all this drama right now.
I have that in real life when I'm talking to a partner who's saying like they're going through stuff like a divorce or separation or they're having problems at home. And I'm like, you know, you're like, bring me in the F, bring me your hurt.
Wounds. I see your pain.
Well, we know that when we don't think it's about us, it's just that if they don't have that tool, that's what they're missing.
That's true. When you're like, I see that this tool and this understanding is
not this tool or this tool.
Yeah, for those of you listening, he pointed at each of us.
Yeah, welcome to audio.
Yeah, it's true. But when you have this tool and you realize, like you say, all boats rise with the tide, once you really understand this and you apply it to your life, it can heal every situation of your life. And it's really true.
Yeah. What book do you not like that you used to like that you don't like anymore?
I was partway into, what's the Jay Shetty's book?
Oh man, you know how I feel about
that. I know. And it was like Monk Mindset or something like that.
It's a mark.
And I was partway into it when I started coaching with Andrew McKee. And, I was like, I can't finish this book.
Yeah.
This would be steering me in the wrong direction. This is everybody that's reading this is just, it's not helpful.
No, it's too bad.
It's really not guiding you in the right place.
Yeah. How long was he a monk for?
Not long.
3 weeks?
Not long enough.
I'm just kidding. So, yeah, I know he's helping people in his own way. So I guess, but
he's trying to. It.
Yeah.
He's trying to.
The
monk that needs to be famous.
Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People, I don't enjoy anymore.
Okay, yeah.
It's agenda-driven stuff.
Yep.
7 Habits of Highly Effective People I used to
love. Oh, yeah.
I don't love that cover book anymore. I don't hate it. I mean, there's some good principles in it, but some of them we see as very much principles in psychology.
Well, Atomic Habits. Atomic Habits I started that one and was like, I can't go on. I can't carry on with this.
Anything by Rachel Hollis? I'm just kidding. Is there books that you love more now that you've?
Untethered Soul for sure. Yeah, Four Agreements, always.
You mentioned, yeah.
There was another one that I can't think of off the top of my head.
I got a bunch here that, here I'll pull up the list of books I know. There is one.
What's the one by the doctor?
Which doctor?
The one that had the near-death experience.
Yeah, yeah.
Why can't I think of the name of it? Proof of Heaven.
Yeah, but yeah. Proof of Heaven's good.
Yeah.
I'll pull up my list. Here we go. Yeah, that's funny. Atomic Habits just came up as a recommendation. It's like
that's because they're listening. They're listening.
Here we go. So my library. You know, the one that I would strongly recommend, it's such a short, small book, but it's great on Audible. Very heavy accents, so some people have a hard time listening to it, but yeah. I love it. The Way to Love.
The Way to Love.
The Last Meditations of Anthony DeMello. Yeah, wonderful.
Yep.
What else? Oh, anything by Ram Dass I find quite interesting.
Yeah.
And a lot.
Yeah, Ram Dass has some good understanding.
The Five Thieves of Happiness.
Yeah.
But what we don't love is, hey, this is another perfect example of reading from knowing. So what makes The Five Thieves of Happiness such a great book, it's the first book that looked at the problems with happiness from an internal perspective, because everything it says in the beginning, it's brilliant. It said, like, the seven deadly sins, external influences. If you look at all the other things that are, like, you know, that you look at, like, why can't I think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs?
Yeah.
External,
it's all influences. External influences.
But this was the first one that talked about the narrative inside and the motivators to create happiness from those.
Yeah.
Like, you know, consumption is one of them, for example.
Yeah.
And the only thing we don't like about it is how he resolves it, which is like to meditate and do yoga.
It's true.
Which is an external thing. So he goes from this internal thing, but he didn't have this understanding.
Try and fix the internal with an external motivator.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If you are listening, Mr. John Izzo, we'd love to partner with you.
Absolutely.
That'd be amazing.
Absolutely. That would be amazing.
Yeah. And he has a couple other good books too. And so those kind of books, and by the way, Proof of Heaven is Edmund Alexander.
Yes.
Yeah. Power of Now, we don't want to forget.
Power of Now, yeah. Eckhart Tolle's got a lot of good ones too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those kind of books, and anything, we love Michael Neal as well.
Yeah. Yeah, Michael Neal's.
He's close to it or something. And there's lots of different authors that, like I said, they're writing either around it or close to our conversation. It's not about agreeing or disagreeing. I think it's about depth. And how much they get to it. Even Michael Neal, who we love, he rewrote his Supercoach book.
Yeah.
Because it was missing a spiritual component. And he now says himself, he cringes when people say, oh, I had your book 20 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
And I love it.
Yeah. Because he knows what it's missing. Incomplete. He knows it's incomplete.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I love that he acknowledged that part. And so, you know, I guess what we're saying is it's kind of like you are what you eat when it comes to consuming. Be careful what you read.
Yeah.
And then if you're reading from need, then be very careful what you read. If you're reading from knowing, then understand you can read anything and you're not, because you're not taking it in. Is how many times have we had people in our lives go, I just read a book, it's the thing, and then a month later, this is the book that's changing my life. Let's talk about that. That's another part that we need to be careful of, is that a lot of people, they love the feeling of personal growth. So this whole well-being concept.
Yeah, it becomes an addiction.
Yeah. And when you, because they want, I think it's a problem. It's like a microdose. So you get something in a book, you learn something new that makes you have an epiphany, like, oh, that's cool. It's a line. But if it's not, because anything can give you an epiphany. If something rhymes, you're like, oh, that's
cool. Oh, yeah.
You know,
right? Like memes and TikToks and stuff like that. And people share them because they rhyme and they sound good.
Yep.
But where's that
no
guiding
substance.
You? Yeah. What's the substance and what's the depth in that? And where is it really guiding you to?
Agreed.
Yeah.
And so that's the other side of it. It's like when you're, you know, and they just keep trying to climb. And we believe that, again, we're polishing a stone. I feel like they're picking up the last stone and throw it away. We know another person we really love and respect, that they've consumed, like, they consume like two books a week or
more.
And I'm like, how, there's no way you're retaining all that.
No.
So what are you doing? Right.
You're just like entertainment value, really.
Yeah. It's like someone who's like, a championship eating competition kind of person. It's like eating as much as they can.
Well, and I've got a couple family members that love to read like fantasy.
Yeah, we're not talking about that yet.
Yeah. Which is a totally different story. Yeah. Literally.
Thank you, Poppin. He'll be here all week. literally, he lives here.
But it's like, be careful of what you're into. Like, I haven't told you about this yet. I saw a video today on TikTok, and it was a guy that was like, my favorite line from Game of Thrones was when Tyrion Lannister calls Jon Snow a bastard, and he gets offended by it. And he's like, always remember what you are. Put it on and wear it like a suit of armor. It'll keep you safe from the world. And I'm like, that is the worst advice I've ever heard in my life. Like, what did we?
So, yeah, can you imagine wearing armor all the time? Showering is impossible. Good luck sleeping in it.
Yeah, right.
Why don't you create a wall between
you? Yeah, build a wall between you and everybody else.
And no hugs.
And make yourself an island.
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff it was obviously posted because someone felt that way.
Yeah.
And that's what reading from need is. I need something. I feel something that satiates me. And now I'm going to project it in the world that this is the right thing because it aligns with what I think already, rather than knowing the truth of who you are and then finding stuff that helps soften you and understand that language. Because we do believe that those who stay in the conversation metaphorically, that they stay, keep this in as part of their understanding. Mm-hmm. They consume our content or other content that's aligned with us that we promote and support, that they are the ones that kind of stay in this much, much longer and they stay in flow. And if they do step in, proverbial doggy poo in their life, then they have a really easy time cleaning up, moving back into the feeling.
Yep. Yeah, it's true.
Well, I guess that really takes us to the end, Nick.
I think so.
I don't think there's much else to talk about. I just want to badmouth some more authors. I don't mind Oprah sometimes. Anyways, on that note, we hope you had some value in today. And if you have any more recommendations or you want to share a book and have us read it.
Absolutely.
That is something you think aligns with what we'd love to hear from you. We're always looking for material that helps because we know we're not the only voice, but, We're not white sheep thinking, that's for sure. We're looking for more black sheep like us.
Absolutely.
Happy to meet people and are aligned.
Yep. And if you're watching or listening, if you're watching on YouTube, click like and hit subscribe. Yeah. Same thing. If you're listening, subscribe to our channel so you can get more of us if you want to hear more.
We appreciate your support and we're happy to answer any questions. We'll see you on our next episode. Thanks for joining us.
Much love.